Welcome to this Tuesday, November the 21st, day 325 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and this is the Daily Radio Bible. And we are about to do what we do every day. We're going to take some time in God's Word. And we're going to let God's Word take some time on us. You know how we need that. I need time in the Word. And we're going to do that in the Gospel of Matthew today, chapters 8 through 10. Well, it's good to be back here in Cincinnati, and I trust that your day has gone well, is about to go well. And what do you say we add to it here with God's Word, Matthew chapter 8. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priests and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites for whom the kingdom was prepared will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her, and she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." Another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and waves obey him." When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They climbed out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance, so the demons begged, If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs. All right, go, Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus. They begged him to go away and leave them alone. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happened, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing over new cloth? But the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so that both are preserved." As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us!" They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Don't tell anyone about this." But instead, they went out and spread his fame all over the region. When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel," they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, He can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Matthew chapter 10. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. John, James's brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions: "Don't go to the Gentiles or Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave that town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. And if it is not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Be aware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. All nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daylight comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of 2 sparrows, 1 copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive a righteous person because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cold cup of water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. And now may the one who rewards us with his life give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Someone got it. Someone understood. Someone heard and saw, and they got it. Ironically, in most people's eyes, this would have been the most unlikely person to get it. Jesus has been talking and preaching and sending out his disciples and proclaiming the kingdom of God. This with God life that we've been invited back into, Jesus is proclaiming this message and nobody seems to get it, except on this day, this Roman officer, he got it. He was in crisis, like we all find ourselves in. We are all in crisis. He had a friend, a servant, who was paralyzed and in terrible pain. And he comes to Jesus because he knows that Jesus is the source of healing. Jesus agrees to go home with him to heal him, but the officer stops Jesus in his tracks and he says these incredible words. He says, "I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." This guy gets it. What does he get? He gets the kind of life that Jesus has been demonstrating himself. Jesus says to us, in every word, in every action, that he takes every step in utter dependence of his Father. "Without my Father, I can do nothing. I am under my Father's authority. When my Father says, go, I go. Come, I come. If he tells me to do this, I do it. I work in utter dependence, in utter communion with my Father." Jesus is showing us in every word and in every deed that the life of the kingdom is a life of dependence upon God. This guy got it. He recognizes that what needs to be done can only be done through Christ. Mine is not to fret or to sweat or to freak out. Mine is to depend upon him. And if he gives the word and he says that my servant will be healed, then I can rest in that. I can relax into the adequacy of the one who is big enough, the one who has the authority to do what needs to be done. Jesus offers us this same quality of life, my friend. This is the normal Christian life, to live in utter dependence upon God, to wake up each day and to discover what it is that God would have for us, to recognize that apart from him, I can do nothing. And so what is it, God, that you would have me do today? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? Let's step out together in this amazing adventure of life that you have for us. Help me to relax into the adequacy of your bigness for all that needs to be done. This life is ours, my friend. This is the normal Christian life. Do you get it? Do you get what this Roman officer got? But we can have that life if we want it, even now. by faith, trusting in Him. And when we do, He comes and He resides in us, allowing us to live and move and have our being in Him. That's the prayer of my own heart today, my friends, that I would live more in the fullness of this exchanged life that we are being offered, that I would relax into the adequacy of the one who is big enough for the job, and that I would stand back and watch and behold and see what God will do as we trust Him. That's the prayer of my own heart. That's the prayer I have for my family, for my wife, for my daughters, my son. That's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, it's always good to hear from you. It really is, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon the podcast. So next time you got a moment, how about taking it and letting a brother know? Speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to my good friend, Douglas Green. Douglas, man, I am so honored to be on this journey with you. Thanks for writing in yesterday. The same goes to Mary Ellen and Tom Erdley, my good friends. Thanks so much, guys. You are such an encouragement. I tell you, you don't know. You have no idea how encouraging you two are. And to Holly. Holly, thanks so much for writing in. Holly, I want you to know that God delights in hearing us. There's no doubt about that. Hey, and it is a delight to share this time with all of you, as a matter of fact, and to spend time in God's Word. What an amazing thing. Well, hey, before I let you go, just want to ask you to do me a couple of favors. One would be this, to share the app on this Thanksgiving week. How about sharing God's Word with someone in your life? Another thing I would love for you to do would be to take a little time and sign up for our email newsletter. That would be great to keep you guys in the know. Well, that's about it. We've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the very same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let God's joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.